Good Monday. Today is June the 9th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, I had a chance to visit with Brandon Curran of the Ohio Soybean Association and get his thoughts on the latest release of MAHA, the Make America Healthy Again report, and what it could mean for Ohio soybean farmers. We'll have the details on that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Before we take a look at today's headlines, we wanted to get a quick schedule update from the Paulding County Fair. A big day today, both on the Junior Fair Show and the Open Show. Junior Fair Goat Show starts this morning at 9 a.m., and then the Junior Fair Rabbit Showmanship is at 12. 4-H Food and Nutrition Judging takes place at 1 o'clock today, and then the Project Awards will be at 3. The Prince and Princess and Junior Fair King and Queen Contest starts at 5 o'clock, with the Junior Fair Parade kicking off at 6:30 and the King and Queen Coronation happening at 7. And, of course, the Cornhole Tournament takes place in the show arena at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm joined today by Brandon Curran with the Ohio Soybean Association. Brandon, recently the MAHA report came out, Make America Healthy Again. All kinds of news coverage about it in regular media and ag media, as there's a lot of different opinions about what that report said. Curious from Ohio Soybean Association standpoint, maybe some of your responses.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll start by saying this. We have reached out along with a number of agriculture groups from across the country to members of the MAHA Commission with the message that, you know, we support the ultimate goal of the commission and, you know, want to be a resource and want to be engaged in the process. And so, unfortunately, with this first report, I think one of the frustrations we have, even though we think that the ultimate goal of what the commission is trying to do is a positive thing, is that we didn't really have a seat at the table, that we didn't have an opportunity to put to give much input into this first report. And so there's a frustration right off the bat that, you know, this lack of engagement with the agriculture community probably led to some things being included that have driven frustration amongst farmers and agriculture groups even further. So, you know, the thing about this report that's been issued is very broad-based. It's very comprehensive, right? There's what's included in there is a multitude of different aspects of improving health for Americans. And the focus here is on kids in this first report. And so, you know, again, I'll just reemphasize, I think that the agriculture community and agriculture groups support that overarching goal. But there's certainly some frustration with some elements in the report that are really, you know, the frustration comes from their assertions more based on fear, based on a lack of understanding, based on, you know, what you see from activist social media types out there. And this report in some ways is giving a platform to some of those elements. And that's frustrating, I think, for agriculture. And I think if you look at a couple of examples for us from the soybean industry, it's references to the concern over pesticides in the food supply. And it's concern over the health implications of seed oils in particular. And so, you know, when you look at pesticides, you and I know that that is a critical crop protection tool for farmers. We can't provide the safe and abundant food supply that we have without that crop protection tool. It's just they are mutually exclusive in a lot of ways. But, you know, the report pulls out some studies and concerns that have been raised out there that are kind of on the fringe, even though we've got, you know, if you look at what the pesticide that gets a lot of the attention is glyphosate, right? And with glyphosate, we have 50 plus years of a study of that product by the US EPA's very stringent process for evaluating the safety of that product. Other entities like that across the world, the European, the agency that's charged with overseeing the safety of the European food supply has said there's no concern with glyphosate. Yep, we see references pop up in this report about fears and concerns over pesticides like glyphosate in the food supply. And so that part, I think, is very frustrating that the report is giving credence or a platform to some of these outlier concerns that if you look at the broad-based studies and the data that's available, there is no concern in that space. And I think it's a similar thing with references to oil seeds. And, mm-hmm. and one of the other things that I think is really frustrating to us as we look at the report is it kind of contradicts itself in several places. So it raises concerns about or brings up questions about oil seeds in American diets. But on the same side, it says, you know, those same studies or the references are very non-conclusive. And there's a whole host of other studies out there that say, you know, oil seeds and soybean oil are heart healthy. You know, the American Heart Association, for example, mm-hmm. You know, we can point to a very reputable organization that you know, talks all the time about the benefits of seed oils in the American diet. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. We want to be a part of a path moving forward to make Americans healthy. But when reports like this give a platform to some of those outlier kind of activist positions that kind of ignore the broad-based data and scientific-based information that's out there, that's frustrating.
My guest again today, Brandon Kern with the Ohio Soybean Association. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, changing directions, nearly a century of public input, partnerships, legislation, and oversight are behind the continuing development of our nation's main farm safety net program. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Most ag producers are familiar with the federal crop insurance program.
The main thing about crop insurance is it's the backbone of the American farmers' financial stability, what gives them the opportunity to continue to farm when there is price fluctuation, when there is disasters, when there is a weather event that causes them to have poorer yields than their average yields.
Pat Swanson is quite familiar with the significance and history of our nation's crop insurance program from viewpoints as farmer, crop insurance agent, Federal Crop Insurance Corporation board member, and currently administrator of the Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency. It is a farm safety net that has been around for almost a century now.
The Federal Crop Insurance Corporation actually started back in the 1930s, so this is not a new program.
One of many initiatives created to help agriculture recover in the midst of the Great Depression. The corporation came into existence in 1938 to carry out the program. Crop insurance remained as an experimental form in major growing areas for key row crops for over four decades, until a nationwide program expansion occurred under the 1980 Federal Crop Insurance Act.
But it wasn't until 1996 that RMA was the oversight for the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation.
That came about 2 years after Congress passed the Federal Crop Insurance Reform Act in 1994, connecting crop insurance coverage to federal disaster benefits for farmers. Significant growth in producer participation in the crop insurance program led to year 2000 legislation supporting private sector research and development of new insurance products and features. Administrator Swanson says the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation Board remains a key part in product development, with input ranging the ag spectrum.
There's six members that serve on that board. Four of them are farmers, one of them is a regulatory, and one of them is a crop insurance agent as well.
In addition, the FCIC board oversees development of
products that are becoming available to farmers through the 508H process,
which allows private parties to develop insurance products for crops. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.